Srimad Bhagavatam Mahapurana Ki. We're continuing classes in the Ras Lila, chapter 30, verse number 4, we're discussing. We're in the middle of Vishnu Chakravarti's commentary yesterday, and we'll conclude that and make a few comments and begin verse 5. Text 4, chapter 30. Kayantyu che amam eva samhata ichikyuran mattaka vadvanam vanam praprachurakasha varantaram bahir uteshu santam purusham vanaspatin. Translation. This is a translation by Srila Prabhupada. Soon all the Brajagopis, they gathered together and they started chanting Krishna's name very loudly. As they moved from one part of the forest to another, Vanadvanam, searching for Krishna. Actually, Krishna is all pervading. Akasha Vad Antaram Bahir. Antaram and Bahir. Akasha Vad Antaram Bahir. Actually, Krishna is all-pervading. Krishna is in the sky. He's in the forest. He's within everyone's heart. He is always everywhere. Krishna is everywhere. So we are hearing from Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur yesterday. And he was in his own unique vision, prem-saturated vision, what we call prem-drishti. The vision, drishti means vision of love, pure divine love. He's able to penetrate the verses of the Bhagavatam and see the leelas behind the verses and understand the conversations that are not being said in the verse itself, but he opens up the whole inner exchange. So he's saying that where we continue, he said the gopis are lost in the madness of divine love, and they start asking about the trees, where is Krishna? And this is a symptom of Mahabhav. It's called Unmad. You can see in Ujjvali Lavani there are six symptoms of Mahabhav, and one is to project human sentiments, human feelings and sentiments onto non-human or insentient beings like, oh mountains, oh earth, oh sky. These are insentient, they're not alive, at least on one level. And to say, oh mountains, you must be feeling like us. Mountains are feeling like the gopis. So this is a type of unmad or pramad, madness. So there's six symptoms, but tomorrow we'll discuss those symptoms also as a point of learning, at least hearing. So now they're mad, and so Vishnu is saying, someone may argue at this time, because the gopis don't know, but the acharyas know, and they reveal that Krishna left the rasa dance, all the gopis were alone, and they all thought they were all together, and they're all together searching for Krishna. The Krishna went away with Radharani, and none of them understood this. By the covering of Yoga Maya, they thought, oh, Radharani's with us, and we're all together searching for Krishna. So someone may argue, at this time, Krishna's enjoying with Radharani, his favorite gopi. So Krishna's not even aware of the questions that the gopis are asking, because the whole chapter 30 is 44 verses, and the gopis are wandering here and there, and, oh, Mother Earth, the earth is soil. And they're saying, oh, you must know where Krishna is, because you're always feeling the touch of Krishna's feet. And so, and Krishna is always embracing you with a touch of his feet. So generally when we walk around the land, we don't think that our feet are embracing the land. We think our feet are holding up our body and transporting us from place to place. Oh, Mother Earth, oh Earth, you must be feeling like us, and you must be feeling ecstatic. I can see, Mother Earth, that you're feeling sattvic bhavs. You're ecstatic because you're touching Krishna. If someone touches Krishna, they become blissful, they become ecstatic. How do we touch Krishna? Hare Krishna. Sparshya, shabda sparsha. You touch the sound vibration. Shabda means sound. You touch Krishna's name and kirtan or japa, and you feel happy, you feel blissful. But does your hair stand on end? Do you feel ashta sattvic vikaras? Does your hair stand? Does our hair stand on end? Do tears rush from our eyes? We start trembling. Pulaka, gadgada, nayanam gadgada vilya gira, pulaka nichijam bhulukada. We pray, shikshastakam. The Mahaprabhu is saying, this is bhav. These are four symptoms of bhava. Sattvic vikaras, the transformation of the satta. The satta means our existence. There's sattva and there's satta. The satta means our existence. So our very being, our position, our condition is satta. And due to the perturbations, the disturbance of the heart moves in particular ways, and then it affects the elements of the body, the life air of the body. So when the airs of the body are affected by the movements of the heart, that then you have the trembling. Because when someone is trembling, this type of disease, Parkinson's or whatever it's called, trembling, and this is called Vat Rog. Vat Rog. Rog means disease and Vat means air. So when there's a disturbance of the fire element in the body, it's called Pitta. Pitta. Pitta means fire. Vata Pitta Vayu. So kav, pitta and vayu, or vat. When there's a disturbance of fire, then you sweat. You have a fire. You have a fever. You ever have a fever and you sweat? Yeah, because there's too much heat in your body and your temperature. Oh, 103. It goes up. So these transformations of the physical body, which are expressed in the change that transforms the existence, are due to emotions, fear, anxiety, joy, depression, agony, or transcendental ecstasy, divine love, or even material love, there's a reflection of similar feelings. So the gopis, these are the sattvic vikaras. There's eight of them, ashta sattvic vikaras. And the gopis are saying, oh, Mother Earth, you're touching Krishna with your feet, and you must be feeling really ecstatic because I see the hairs of your body are standing on end. You know, the hairs of your body, Mangalartik, Raman Reti, you're going to Mangalartik and five dogs chase you, barking. You know what I mean? Hair standing on end, you know? Even your dreadlocks, you know, they go like this. your scalp, you know, this is called scalp, you know, up your head, you know, the skin. Scalp gets tight. You know, it's like, chow, you know. This is not sattvic vikara. It's something, it's a transformation due to fear of dog bite. So then the gopis are saying, this soil, this earth, you must be feeling sattvic vikaras or ecstatic symptoms of bhav, because Krishna is touching you with your feet. And therefore we can see that the hairs of your body, Mother Earth, the grass on your surface is standing on end. The grass is always standing on end. Is this grass in ecstasy because of the Hare Katha? No, even when there's no Hare Katha, it's standing on end. I mean, it's Brijvasi grass, so maybe it's always in ecstasy. It's hearing Krishna's flute. So this is symptom of Mahabhava, projecting human-like feelings on earth and water and other things. Bamboo stalks, they're living, of course. So that someone may argue. The gopis are asking, oh, Krishna, or they're asking different plants and tulsi and the trees and punaga tree and palasha tree, which we'll see. Have you seen Krishna and Mother Bhumi and this and that? And then, so the gopis are asking all these questions. So someone may argue, well, they're asking so many questions, but Krishna's busy with Radharani. He's not hearing your questions. So the same question can be asked by any sadhaka sitting here or anywhere. Oh, I'm praying, hey, Bhagavan, Gopinath, you know, please bless me. I'm Sharanagati, I surrender, oh, please bless me. Oh, is Krishna hearing my prayers? I wonder. I've read this question 1,000 times, 43 years. You know, we're praying to Krishna, but is Krishna hearing our prayers? And I said, of course. Otherwise, why do you experience reciprocation? Krishna's ears are everywhere, it says in Gita, Sarvato Panipadam Tat Sarvatakshi Sharamakam. Krishna's within. Mayam Tatamidam Saram Jagat Abhyatimurtina, Ninth Chapter of Gita, verse 4. But Krishna's within your heart as Paramatma. He's within your heart as Paramatma if you're a yogi and you're seeing him. And he's within your heart as Paramatma if you're a bogi and you're not seeing him. As a bogi, yogi, if you're a human and you're alive, or you're not a human, you're a dog, Paramatma is in your heart. But if you're Hanuman, the Paramatma becomes Sitaram. See? So I'm not Hanuman, unfortunately. That's quite an impossible role to fulfill. Totally absorbed in Dasyarati. We pray to Hanuman. We're in Raghunoga Bhakti. Or let's say we're Raghunoga Bhakti Praya, almost practicing Raghunoga Bhakti, or trying to at least think about it. And we see Hanuman, and we think, oh, Hanuman, he's nothing to do with me. No, he's everything to do with us. He's everything to do with us. Why? Because Raghunoga Bhakti, as Lord Chaitanya presents it, means to become a gopi of Radharani, to become a mandri, a Radhadasi. So what are we aspiring for? Dasi, Bhav. Dasi, Anadasi, 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 Vishaka, Dasi, Anadasi, Anadasi, Lohita, Dasi, Anadasi, Mandri, Dasi, Anadasi, Rati, Mandri, Dasi, Anadasi, Tulsi, Mandri, Dasi, Anadasi. Hey, Hanuman. Hey, Dasi, Rati, Hanuman. Hey, Vrajangvali. You're as strong as a thunderbolt. So please bless me, that same intense attachment you have to Arishta Devata, Sita Ramji, Sri Ram, Sri Ram, Sri Ram. Fine, I will say Sri Raman, Sri Raman, Sri Raman, Sri Raman, at least some of the people will say. Raman means the lover of Sri. Sri Raman, Sri Raman, Sri is Srimati Radharani, Sri, Sri. It's Sri Ram, Sri Ram, Sri Raman, Sri Raman, Sri Raman, Sri Raman. Mantra is the same, slight tweaking of the ending. Jai Shri Ram, Jai Shri Raman. Jai Shri Ram, Jai Shri Raman. Because I know many people in the North India, they love Ramchandra. And they say, Jai Shri Ram. So we reply to them, but they don't really know what we're saying. They say, Jai Shri Raman. Radha Ramana Giri Dari. No one can understand the content of another person's heart or mind except Krishna and Radharani. So therefore, our angle of vision and the position of our heart indicate our understanding of the world. So when we see Hanuman, we say, oh, Hanuman, you're so strong, I'm so weak. You're so surrendered, I'm so unsurrendered. You're so detached, I'm so attached. You're 24, when you're sleeping, your pores of your body, the pores of your body, the hairs are chanting, Sri Ram, Sri Ram, Sri Ram. When I'm sleeping, I'm in Maya. And when I'm awake, I'm in Maya. When am I not in Maya? I have a beanbag in my head. See, I'm not in Maya. We're trying to convince somebody, maybe ourselves or someone else. So we pray. Wow, what is Hanuman doing in Radha Kund? Oh, Hanuman, he's so wonderful. And you're trying to be, because if you're in Gopi Bhav, that means you don't have any Bhav for anybody else. So if you're in Gopi Bhav, it means you don't have any Bhav for anybody else. This means if you're a woman, there's no man in your life except Krishna. If you're a man, there's no woman in your life except Radharani. And if you're a Gaudiya, then there's nobody in your life but Radha and Krishna. So then Hanuman is a great brahmachari. So to be celibate and dedicated and loyal, that's what Hanuman is all about. So we have many people in our brain and mind and heart, but Hanuman has nobody but his lover, Ramchandra. So you know, see Hanuman in a new light, you know? It's called the light of Anubhav. He's such a wonderful personality. So how we go from Rasleela to Hanuman, only Krishna knows. Because someone may argue, the point is that Krishna hears the prayers. The question Vishnu is asking, gopis are asking questions and no one's answering. So is Krishna hearing? So what is he going to say? He's saying, someone may argue, Krishna doesn't know about, I'm having a good time with Radharani. What do I care about you and all your questions and all your anxiety and agony? And then this verse answers and removes any doubt by, this is very clever, which is already indicated. This verse, 10th canto, chapter 30, verse 4, answers a question that was asked by someone that we're offering prayers to Krishna. The gopis are praying for Krishna. Krishna, where are you? I'm not seeing you. I want to see you. I want to meet you. I want to be with you. Right? I really want to see you now. I really want to be with you. Da, 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 da. So who can sing this song more than us? Because that was his English version of understanding that Krishna is Madhurya Purushottam. Madharari Paterakiram Madharam Vamanam Madharam Asitam Madharam Venu Madhara Yamana Madharam. Everything is sweet about Krishna. Vena Madhurya Madhurya Vena Madhurya Leela Madhurya Prima Madhurya Madhurya Madhavar 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 Madhur Gilamangala. He's seeing Krishna with the eyes of his heart. And so he's seeing this sweet, beautiful boy, and he's seeing. How can you imagine? And you're seeing, and afterwards you're writing, because I don't think you're writing when you're seeing. What did I see? What have I seen? What am I seeing? Madhuram, 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 madhuram. I'm seeing Swayam Madhurya, the embodiment and personification of sweetness, sweetness, sweetness. And he is whom we love. This is the quality whom we are worshiping, not God. We're not worshiping Bhagavan. We are worshiping the sweetness in Bhagavan. And the ultimate quintessence of the sweetness in Bhagavatam, when the sweetness within Bhagavatam takes form, becomes Madhurya, Madhuri Radha. She is the form, the personified form of Krishna's sweetness. Because what makes one sweet? Is it their money? Is it their talent? Depends on who you are. Is it their money? Is their talent? Is their fame? It's their heart. They say, we don't say, oh, he has sweet money. No, he or she has a sweet heart. We say, she's my sweet heart. I mean, English, I don't know about German and other languages. But he is my, I don't say that. For the man, I say he is my whatever. He's he. Whatever he is. So this is Radharani. So that Vishnu says, you asked the question, is Krishna hearing my prayers? I'm little Bhakta Joe, little Bhakta Mary, and I, you know, I'm not initiated. and I'm praying to Krishna, I'm crying. Oh no, you have to get initiated, then Krishna hears your crying. Then Krishna hears your prayers. No, I haven't seen anywhere in Shastra like that. You know, the Shabaras in the forest, the jungle women and the Aborigine men are praying to God, and he's replying and responding to them. So this verse answers a question. That's why, because they're saying they're searching for him. The verse has two parts. One part is philosophy and tattva, and the last two padas. And the first two padas are all about the leela and the movements and the actions of the gopis. So they're moving through the forest, they're searching for their lost beloved, and they're searching, they're looking, and they're asking questions. And then the next two lines are saying that this is the answer. So there are many, many different meanings that can be taken from this. Prapachur, prapachur, vanadvanam prapachur. Then akasha, akasha vadantaram bahir, bhuteshu santam purusham vanaspatim. The Supreme Purusha, the Paramatma, Bhagavan Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is within everything, without everything. He's in the sky, he's everywhere. So this is the answer, that Krishna is in, he's all pervading inside and outside of every living entity, like the sky, Akash, which we discussed yesterday also in our explanation of the verse itself. In other words, although Krishna's original personal form remains undivided, he's also omnipresent. In other words, Krishna's one and he's many. He's everywhere and he's nowhere. He's within you and without you. So every bhakta, therefore, Krishna hears the prayers of the gopis and he hears their questions in the middle of the forest, even though they can't see him. So they are in the middle of the forest. We're in the middle of the forest of material enjoyment. We're in the middle of this samsara. And Krishna, oh, Krishna is so far away, enjoying his lila. It's not so far away, because there's no far and near in the transcendence. As the Atma, the Gita says, the Atma is sarvagata, sarvagata, gata, gati. He's gone everywhere. The Atma is everywhere. There's Atma is all around us. There's everywhere Atma. So the Dham means the existence. The Dham means the plane. The Dham, Braja Dham, the plane. It's the plane of divine consciousness, which is all, consciousness is all pervading. Vrindavan, where is the God? Where is Bhagavan? Bhagavan Kaham. And all the Indian people say, he is the Uparwala. Bhagavan is Uparwala. Uparwala means anybody selling anything. And he, Upar means upstairs. He's up there. And the same thing. When you're little and someone says, where's heaven? What do you say? You go like that. Where's hell? You go like this, right? It's down. So there's two directions, but it's hell is everywhere and heaven is everywhere. Open your eyes. So this is Vishnu's commentary. Let's see if anything else is being told here. Jiva Swami, he deals with two questions which arise in verse 2. Why are the Brajagopis singing loudly and why are they collected in a group? And then I already touched on this point. Krishna asked the question, does Krishna, who is Lila Purushottam, he's busy. We're worshiping Krishna. If we are worshiping Paramatma like the yogis, we are worshiping the all-pervading Vishnu or Narayan and desiring to go to Vaikuntha, then for sure Vishnu and Narayan and the Paramatma hear our prayers because they're right with us. And they're known to be responsive gods. They're responsive gods. Who's in charge of the whole place anyway? Who's maintaining the whole existence? The Vishnu and Mahesh and Brahma, the maintainer of this whole ballgame. This whole Leela, the Tristi Leela, is Vishnu. So who's ever in charge of the business, if you cry to the owner, then he responds. You go in the shoe store, the owner, man, he's old, don't cry. So Vishnu, he's in charge. But this little boy that we're worshiping, he's not in charge of anything. He's not maintaining anything. He's not in charge of anything. He doesn't create anything. He doesn't destroy anything. He just plays. He's a play lord, Lila Purushottam. Lila means play. He doesn't own any cows. He doesn't have any position, doesn't have any job, doesn't go to school. He takes the cows out of Nanda Maharaj. If he loses a few thousand, or if Kamsa's troops come from Mathura and steal a few lakhs of cows, he just comes home and says, oh, daddy, I lost a couple of lakhs of cows. What happened? Well, Kamsa came with all the soldiers, and we just ran up in a tree and ate mangoes, and he stole them all.
Oh, and so his father doesn't say, no, you're supposed to be responsible. You should, because he knows he's not, he's irresponsible. He's Krishna. He's just a little boy. He doesn't spank him. Oh, you lost my 2 lakhs of cows. No, I only have 7 lakhs left. He doesn't get, even when they think about spanking him, they just look at him and start crying. So you, oh, Lala. Krishna Kaniya. They go to spank him and punish him and tell him there's no sweets today after dinner as a punishment. And they end up giving twice as many sweets than they planned to because he was even bad. It just has a reverse effect. You should go, listen, you can't have dessert today. You're a bad boy. Oh my God, this is really bad. So there's no such thing as serious punishment of Krishna. So he's Lila Purushottam, so he's always enjoying, even if he hears the prayers and aspirations we speak to him. So the answer is there. He hears. So the first four verses we've been describing the gopi's mental state as Vibram, Pramad, Unmad, which is all different degrees of confusion, bewilderment, disturbance, madness. Madness, then complete madness. And then they start to show how mad they are. I am Krishna. In verse 3, one gopi said, I am Krishna. The other gopi said, I am Krishna. Well, that's okay. But now watch how I am Krishna. So then they start enacting, reenacting one by one as Bali Leelas, Boganda Leela, and Putana, even a chronology sequence. Putana, then Trinavart, and then Shakatasura, then and Vatsasura, then Agasura, and Bakasura, and they just go through one by one. And then finally they end up with the Ras Leela, and Krishna appears, and then they don't have to pretend, and they have. So that's in the Kaishor Leela and the Kaishor time. In the material world, madness is caused by a deranged and diseased mind. A gopi's madness, of course, there's no compare, it's transcendental, and their madness is to please Krishna. Because as I mentioned 2 days ago, Krishna is watching them. And Krishna, they think he's gone, where is he? But he's actually moving right along with them in the shadows of the trees. He's moving through the shadows of the tree, and they're moving through the moonlight, filtering through the trees, so they can, with the moonlight, they can hope to find Krishna. And Krishna's following them, watching them, hearing their questions. And because one form in his original form, he's with Radharani, he never leaves her side. Another form, he's with all the gopis. This is told in the Rasa dance. When Krishna's in the center of the Rasa, that's one special Krishna. It's only with for Radharani. There's a technical term, whatever, I don't remember. Swayam Rupa, and the other ones are Vilas Rupa. But when he expands with all the other gopis, so that same thing, Krishna is with Radharani alone, and he left all the gopis. But then, so as Krishna is moving with all the gopis and observing and hearing their crying and their prayers and their questions, he's moving right along with us and observing and hearing our prayers and our questions. And because we're only asking one question, where are you? Kotai go prima mai radhe radhe. Kotai, kotai means, Bengali means where are you? You're full of love and I have none. Prima mai, you're made of love. Krishna prima mai radha. So where are you? Can you please come to me? So the gopi's madness, the unmad, according to Sri Jiva Goswami, the gopi's madness is bewilderment of the heart due to love, which is, allows them to see Krishna manifest in everything. That's a desirable vibram, to have such a vibram that you see Krishna in everything, and everything in Krishna. That's what they say, the Rasikjans, they sing that when Radharani is with Krishna, she sees one Krishna in front of her. But when she's separated from Krishna, she sees Krishna everywhere. And in the Ras Leela performances, they try to portray this idea. Have you ever seen? I don't know if you've seen. We've seen it a couple of times. It's a very popular Leela that they do. And they don't have thousands of Krishnas, but They have one Radha, the curtain closes, and the different scenes of this Rasleela drama. All the Brahmin boys, they dressed as gopis, and one is Krishna. And then the curtain opens, and Radharani's, "Oh, Krishna," and she's running from one stage to another. Then there's lights. So in the darkness of the stage, which you can't see because of the spotlights, there's some desk or some table, and Krishna's standing about 6 feet above the stage, above the level of Radharani. So Radharani's running, looking down the spotlight. You know, it's drama. And the spotlight comes on Krishna. Radharani's running over here. "Oh, Krishna, Krishna." And she turns and she sees that Krishna standing. "Ah, oh, Krishna." She comes in, the spotlight closes. "Oh." And then she turns and there's another one on the other side, and she runs to the other side of the stage, and the spotlight's on, then it goes off. You know, so she can't see. "Oh, he left." That's the impression. And then she sees one in the center, and there one comes from behind the curtain. And she, "Oh, it's a beautiful thing, you know, it's like really nice." You saw? I spent a week and I stayed in the Vaishnav Khan guest house at Padmalochan. So every day I was spending most of the day with Radha Raman, for 5 days, Mandalartik and noon and all the time. And then in the day, when he was sleeping, I'd go see Leela Stalis. And then at night, I would go for the Rasleela down the street, Jai Shingara. And that cuts out about 9:30 or 10. And that's the last Artika of Radha Raman. Surprisingly, that was really late. And you stop in for your nightcap with Radha Raman. He's come from Rasleela. They walk up this little tiny gully. There's different ways to come, front door and back door. Little tiny gully. And then you see the green light inside. Ah, darshan. Poof, you run inside. And dancing and flute and music and all, everyone knows, or some know. But Radha Raman, right? Darshan. Then it closes, and the doors close like halfway, then quarter way, and eighth way, and 16th way, and 32nd degree, and 64, and 128. And then there's just, you see a toenail, or you see a tooth of his face or something, you know, whatever your mind can fix. And you know, one day the last thing I saw was a tooth. Another day it was his nose, you know, they just close, like, you know, because there's some camera in front of you or somebody's face, you know, it's like, it's not so easy to have darshan anymore. Well, I remember coming in with darshan, there's no cameras in front of your face or what to speak of, iPads or something like that. It's like this. Okay, you know, he's like this, and I'm standing behind him looking at his iPod, you know, or whatever it is. Ready. Somehow, and then you go down around the corner and go upstairs and go to sleep, and you know, it's nice. So this is, every few years I go to Vrindavan. I feel I miss Vrindavan. So I make a Vrindavan yatra and save my money and get a flight from Radhakunda to Sevakunj. And every 3 years or so, I can get enough money to go there. You know? It's very far away. Because once you live in Radhakunda and Govardhan, because from here, it's Radhakunda, Govardhan, Nandagaon, Yavat. I mean, this is a whole another dynamic here, you know. It's a whole, I mean, the Maha Yoga Pit and everything, that's of course there, but this, I mean, here is a large chunk of the transcendental Madhurya reality is from Surya. I mean, look at this. We have Suryakund, Radhakund, Chandra Sarovara, Govardhan, and all these places, and onto Varsana, and then Nandagaon, and then Yavat, and back, and we're busy over here. We're really busy. That's all we can accommodate. I mean, Vrindavan is great, and Sevakunj, Nidivan, Yamunapalina, and Dira Shamir, and Vamshivad, and Gopishwar, and all of that, and Brahmakund, and the Yogapith, and Govindastali, and the Govindaji Mandir, and that's great. And every 3 years, I have to go and appreciate that, because that's in here every day, and it's foreign. And the yoga peat and whatnot. So, Vrajadam, no one can understand. People say, you visit Vrindavan, you've been to Vrindavan, you've been to the temple. Oh, 5 years ago. Huh? What? When you came? Oh, I came with Karti. I'm here in March. I saw it. How is it? What's going on there? There's a whole not, as people know, many of you probably, when you come to India, you stay in Radhakund. I think so, a lot of you. And you go there to visit, or go to Loy Bazaar, buy something, buy your spaghetti and come back. So that's what it says. A bewildered heart, their hearts are bewildered due to love, which allows them to see Krishna manifest in everything. And Krishna reciprocates with the gopis by appearing both within their hearts and within the form of. And Krishna, this is very beautiful. I saw this in one other commentary, actually. Krishna appears within their heart and within the form of the trees that they're asking. Oh, Palasha tree, oh, Nyagrodra tree, oh, Bhat tree, oh, Nipa tree, oh, Kadamba tree. Have you seen Krishna? And they're standing there. And that tree is Kadamba tree, it's Tamal Krishna. The Tamal tree is Krishna. Yeah, I've seen them. It's me. So this is. As they're seeing Krishna's appearing within their hearts. That's why Krishna is so much appearing within the gopis' hearts. So they say, I am Krishna. Aham Krishna. And then he's also appearing in the trees. And the vines and the flowers, because it says vanaspatin. It says vanan vanam, vanad vanam, vanaspatin. So vanad vanam. Vana means forest to forest to forest, and vanaspati, although it says trees, vanaspati means the creepers and the flowers and the bushes and the herbs, that's called vanaspati. And they're asking, oh Lata, oh Madhavi Lata, you seem to be in ecstasy. You're clinging so tightly to your beloved. Because the creepers, as you can see behind you, there's a creeper going around the neem tree. Or Chaitanya, there's also, because many of the Leelas we're reading, especially Rasa Leela and other Leelas, the same Leelas were in Natya Leela of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's running through Jagannath Vallabha Natakam. He's running through the forest. There's a big, big area. He's looking for Krishna as a gopi. And he's quoting the same verses of Bhagavatam, 10th canto sometimes. So it's easy to see the parallel. And I found something in Madhya Leela also. So there are two necessary. I'm saying there's two necessary attributes for the sadhaka who is trying to realize Krishna. One, which the gopis are saying, one must inquire about Krishna, about the truth. Tato Brahma Jignasa, that's where it all starts. Who am I? What is God? But as a so-called mature, let's say mature devotees or maturing devotees, we are supposed to inquire in a much deeper level, not from a mental or intellectual level, to understand the existence of God or the position of the Atman and Paramatma or the reality or the Pancha Tattva, the Bhagavad Gita, the Karma Tattva, Jiva Tattva, Kala Tattva, Prakriti Tattva, and Karma Tattva. This is a type of inquiry, a Tattva Brahma Jignas. But that's not what we're talking about. Inquiring about at a more developed level of devotion, we're actually crying out, where are you? What? Like Raghunath Das, he's also making inquiry about the absolute truth. He's at inquiry means questions. He's asking questions. For the absolute truth for him is Radharani. And he's saying, oh Krishna, oh Radharani, what is the use? He's asking a question. He's asking questions. Inquiry means inquiring about the absolute truth means to ask questions. So he's asking questions. Oh Radharani, what is the use? What is the use of my staying in Vrindavan? What is the use of my 40 years of bhajan on the banks of Shamakund? If you don't show your mercy, if you don't give me your mercy, you don't show yourself to me. What is the use of all my bathing and all my seva to your Radhakund? Better I'm dead. So this is, we are also seeing inquiry and asking of questions and crying out. These are heart questions. These aren't questions generated from the mind or generated by the intellect. These are questions generated from a broken heart or a lamenting heart or an unsatisfied heart. Because without having darshan of Radharani, without seeing Krishna, without having anubhav or experience of Radha and Krishna, then what is the point? What is the use of all the bhajan? What is the use of all the getting up early and self-denial and self-control and bhajan and puja and tapa and sarva sangha? there's a sadhya, a sadhana and a sadhya. The sadhya means the fruit of the tree you're seeking. You plant a mango tree to eat the mango. We do sadhana to relish the rasa svarana, to relish the experience of bhava and bhakti. It's serving Krishna with a pure heart, not a split heart, not a mixed heart, bhakti mishra. So there's no relish in a mixed heart. There's so much reservation within us and so much personal agenda. So we can't really relish the sweet intimacies with Krishna, a sweet relationship with Krishna, because we have a lot of things to work out and to deal with because we're conditioned souls. So the gopis are teaching some inquiry, but there's no other question in the gopis' mind, but Krishna Kahan, where is Krishna? Krishna, where are you? So are we gopi-like? Are we like that? We have no other question on our mind than, oh Krishna, where are you? We never ask this question. Where's my food? Where's my lunch? Where's my money? Where's my clothes? Where's my this, that, and everything? These are two necessary attributes for a sadhaka trying to realize Krishna. And then the second point is they must search out. So you ask the question, Krishna, where are you? Then you have to search out how to find Krishna, how to realize him, how to experience him. Sagurum tadvigyanartam sagurum evavigachat. There's a definition of guru. This is maybe 11th canto of Upanishads. Tadvigyanartam gyanartam sagurum gurum evavigachat. Gyanartam tadguru. Art, dharmartkam. Art means asset, objective, possession, value, wealth. Gyanartam means that if you're seeking the wealth of knowledge, who am I? What is the purpose of life? What is the purpose of this material world? Why do I have to die? Why do I have to take birth? Is there another reality? Is there a deathless world? Is there a happy reality? Is there a place where there's no suffering? Is there a dimension where there's no end, where there's eternal bliss, joy, happiness, sweetness, love? So this is the knowledge that you're seeking, this type of understanding, knowledge. Yeah. Then sagurum, sagurum eva abhigachet, abhigachet, gamana, agaman, gamanam. So gachet means, it says, you must seek, you must search. If you want to find the truth, if you want to find the ultimate reality, you must look for God. You must search for guru. Because without guru, there's no freedom. There's no passage from this world without guru. As I mentioned in Hari Bhakti Vilas, Sanatana Goswami is quoting the Puranas in three different verses. He said, Bina guru pashu yoni janmata. If one has no guru and is not taking diksha, then he takes birth in a pashu yoni. Yoni means womb, and pashu means animal. That's not a good idea, especially if you're now a human being. It may be a threat, it may be a scare tactic, in different angles and purposes of shastras and acharyas and sages speaking different things. But if it's true, we don't want to take a risk. We'll just say we'll accept it at face value. Yes. And many places it talks about it. You can find hundreds of quotes about human life is nishfal without diksha from guru. Diksha means proper mantras coming from the sampradaya that are mentioned in ancient Puranas and have a transcendental source of infinite time. So infinite time means transcendental source. Mantras which have no beginning and no end. The 18 syllable Gopal mantra is eternal. You know, it's coming from the time of Brahma. There's Brahma's nitya. So Brahma received the 18-syllable Gopal mantra from Divya Saraswati, the divine wife of Narayan, because mantra is a certain shakti. So Narayan said, you first Ritvik. Narayan said, you know, you give the mantra to them. So that means the shakti, the purusha is not giving the mantra, the shakti is giving the mantra. So the Jiva Shakti is the Guru. In this case, it's the Ladini Shakti. It's the Srup Shakti. Divya Saraswati is giving the mantra. You can see in Brahma Samhita and other places. So this mantra is old as Brahma. So Brahma is eternal. This Brahma comes in thousands of years, and then another Brahma. This is endless. So Gopal mantra. So this means Vaishnava Diksha, receiving the Gopal mantra in the ear. So the Shakti representative of Divya Saraswati is the embodiment of divine knowledge, Divya Gan, was Sri Guru. Om Anjana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Nulitam Yena Tasmai Sri Vaino. So Guru is that Shakti, we say Kripa Murti Shakti. He's the Shakti, he's the power of mercy of Krishna. These qualities, Karuna, Kripa, these are all feminine, these are all Shakti. So ask, inquire about the Absolute and search out Abhigachad, find Guru. So they're inquiring, where is Krishna? And we want to find Krishna. Raghunath Das Goswami, he's not asking for Guru, he has Guru, Yadanandanacharya. And then his Guru is Advaitacharya. So he's Advaitaparibhava. And you see in the Samadhi, you know, when you go to the Gopinath Mandir, it's very interesting. In the Samadhi, now there's some, they've expanded the opulence, like everywhere, of the puja. And now there's some chadar and some different colored cloth to match the day, green on Wednesday and yellow on Thursday, and these type of things. So before, there was a very big tilak on the linga, which represents the samadhi, the ashes or place of the great saint, Siddha Saint, Nitya Siddha Saint, Das Goswami Pad. A very big Advaita tilak, which I'm seeing for years and never realized what was going on. Then I realized one day. Now it's the tilak a little smaller, which I don't like. Because they have some kind of chadar there. It used to be like long. Now it's going on. And then, so then you go around, and that pujari, of course, is Nityananda Parivar. It's probably Srila Ananda Das Ji Maharaj's shishya. And he's a good devotee. But now when he goes around the corner and he does the puja to Das Goswami, what the bhav is, that this is Das Goswami's Govardhan Shila, and it is, because there's unlimited expansions. And so when he puts the tilak there, he puts Nittai Parivar. Nittai Parivar. So I like this very much. Because that's it. So I feel very happy about that. So when you have to search out Radharani. So we're looking for Guru and we're doing bhajan. Then we're searching. Once we have Guru, then we're searching for Krishna at all times within and without. Just like the Braja Gopis are showing in this verse 4 of chapter 30. I'm just speaking something about the need to seek God and we should, without Guru. And there's a whole, I just was remembering, because this concept is there, and this was mentioned by one acharya, how the gopis are representing these points of inquiry about God, Krishna, and then searching for Krishna. Are we seeing Krishna? Is Krishna with us? No. Are we seriously trying to search for him? Are we seriously trying to find him? Probably no. We may ostensibly say yes, especially if we are fortunate enough to have not many or no real pressing responsibilities other than existing in the holy Dhamma Vrindavan and trying to exist, first of all, and do our Guru's Seva and our minimal bhajan due to our personal limitations. But the extent of our deep and inner hankering and searching for Radha and Krishna may be somewhat constrained or limited, because you can only move as far as Krishna lets you move. In other words, there's chesta and there's the kripa. Chesta means the endeavor and kripa means the mercy. So Yashoda collected a lot of ropes, thousands and thousands of lakhs of ropes, and she couldn't tie the belly of a baby whose belly is about 12 inches in diameter. And she had lakhs of ropes. Each rope is for tying up back legs of the cow. So each rope is 1 meter long. Okay? And 1 meter times 3 billion, that's a lot of ropes. And two fingers too short. Namanishvaram sat chirananda rupam lasat kandalango kule brajamanam yashoda viyamu kaladavamanam. Like, I think he must be nine. Radha Damodara, Radha Damodara, Radha Damodara, Radha Damodara, Radha Damodara. That was our great fortune to live in this temple for 3 years. That fortune no one will ever get because the Supreme Court of UP made a ruling. These rooms belong to the temple, Saivite, not ISKCON. Dun, 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 dun. ISKCON can come at 10 o'clock in the morning, take the key from the Saivite, open the door, sit there until 5, give the key back, and go home. No more. It was Prabhupada's will that his sannyasis would stay there on a rotating basis. So we were one of the lucky ones. So fortune is fortune. There's one nice point that I was told in 1977. Because one person, he was the head pujari, and we had some entrance there to do some puja. And I said, "Why, I'm busy with a book distribution." He said, "No, you should see like this. As a devotee, there's certain seva opportunities that come up. This applies to everyone. There's certain seva opportunities that come up in your life. Oh, can you do this service? Can you do that service?" You may, for various reasons, or busy or this, that, you may pass that on or reject that seva opportunity. And then, but he said very nicely, he said, but this seva opportunity may never come again. And you won't realize how special it is or how necessary it is for your own development or important unless you surrender. This is kind of a broad point, but I think everyone can tag into this and draw some personal understanding. Because he was trying to convince me to be part of the department, at least. And I said, it's a little tough, you know, because at 8 o'clock I go to the airport to sell books at a channel, and from 5 to 7 you have to be in the altar, and it's like, you know, what about this? So I do it in the truck, you know, and the way, you know. I said, let me think. So I said, okay. So lo and behold, there it was, 77 to 81, 4 years of Radha Krishna Puja, bathing and dressing, Radha Gokulananda, installed in 1968 by Srila Prabhupada, San Francisco. And then after that, never did that again. But, you know, it just didn't happen. I was here and there. And so that's just, I appreciate what he says, because even now when I dream, I see them sometimes in my dream. And it's a nice thing that he gave me, nice gift. So we don't know what we're being given until we have it, whatever. Anyone has this experience? You're given some save opportunity and your mind rejects, or your mind says, oh, I'm busy, and sad, and no time. And yeah, everyone, you have to deal with this yourself. But it's like when we mentioned, one of our friends said, oh, I have seva, I'm doing guru seva. I can't come in the hurry now. I said, what else? That's the topmost necessity and perfection of life is Guru Seva. That's the ticket to perfection. So the gopis are showing the perfect example here of inquiring and asking every plant in the forest and searching for Krishna, and how devotees like the Braja gopis will look everywhere for Krishna and see Krishna, only Krishna everywhere. Another nice point I was thinking about recently, because I kind of, my mind is quite a bit in this chapter and these verses, and I was realizing another point, because there's one point in the Puranas, it says, When a vairagi, of course it may not apply everywhere, but when a vairagi or sadhu, sannyasi, when he's walking, because there's five imperceptible sinful activities. There's five, imperceptible means you can't see them, or you kill living entities, which you get a reaction for unless you do yajna and different prayaschitta or atonement. So one of them is grinding spices. There's so many bugs in the spices and they get killed. And when you turn on, well, there wasn't gas in those days. But when you have a wood and you start making a fire, there's so many bugs in the wood. There's so many bugs fly into the fire. So when you cook, you're killing living entities. When you grind spices, you're killing living entities. When you drink water, you're killing living entities. When you walk on the street, you're killing living entities. Maybe when you're breathing, I forget. So that's why James, whatever. Because so many living entities of different minute sizes, they go like this. So then the grihastha, he can counteract these by doing the pancha yajna. This is told him, these five sins are counteracted by pancha prayaschitta, five types of atonement. It's called the pancha yajna, these five types of sacrifices. So one is that every day he serves guests. He serves some guests some food. And the second thing is he does some kind of fire yajna. And the third thing, there's like five things he does. And this is told. And then it says for the vairagis or sannyasis, and then when they walk, to avoid the sin of killing living entities unknowingly, he is supposed to avoid that sin and to purify his steps, he is supposed to look 1 meter in front of himself on the ground. Because in the old days, people didn't drive in cars and superhighways. They walked in bare feet and shoes or whatever, from place to place through various footpaths. And so there would be so many ants crossing the path. You ever go on Govardhan Parikrama or Vrindavan, you ever see ants walking, thousands of ants, and you don't know what to do? They're crossing your path and you say, Radhe, Radhe, and maybe the path is this wide and there's no way to go right or left. You have to go straight, and so you may kill some of those ants because there's a million of them. There's no place to tap dance or, kind of dance your way through. So then you say, oh, Hare Krishna. And then you try to walk lightly or somehow avoid. So a devotee, by the chanting of the holy name, by Krishna's mercy, he becomes absolved from these sins. But we should be conscious and aware. So the point is that the vairagi, he's looking at the ground, and he's looking 1 meter in front of him. He says to purify his steps and prevent from this. So we know this from our study of Shastra and being in this position for so long. But generally, we walk down the street, we look where we're going. Especially around here, you have to be careful. But what we find also is that if this is a small practice we can do, because the gopis are searching for Krishna. They're not seeing anything anywhere but Krishna. They're seeing a tree and they're saying, where's Krishna? They're just basically seeing Krishna everywhere. Yomam pashiti sarvacha sarvam mai pashiti. They're seeing Krishna and seeing Krishna in everything, and they're asking everything. I see Krishna in this tree, and that's why Jiva Goswami, Vishnu, says Krishna's in the tree and he's hearing their questions. But they don't know it, or maybe they do, it doesn't say. So like that, when we're walking, we generally look this way, that way, and we see these so many people. So sometimes we've done the practice, and I just kind of sharing it, that it's a very nice point. You kind of use your ears more, and you're visually conscious, but you actually look at the ground, and you go on Parikrama, Radhakunda, whatever, without seeing all the yatris or without seeing anyone, and you see how fixed and peaceful your consciousness stays. You're aware of the motorcycles and the bulls, and you're aware of all the obstacles on the course. You can see them because there's called peripheral vision, out of the side, and your ears, oh, the motorcycle coming. But actually, we're always looking like this everywhere, careful, watching everything. But therefore, our whole consciousness and awareness is going outward. It's going outward through our visual perception. So we're not able to focus inward. So maybe you don't understand what I'm saying, but these are principles. In other words, you're in your room and you're meditating for hours and hours and hours. And now you're going out on Brikama. And so now there's a certain peacefulness and a certain spiritual reality that settles in your consciousness when you spend several hours, 4 to 8 o'clock or 4 to 9 a.m. and chanting mantra or meditating and other things, that you're in a dimension, fourth dimension, whatever, the spiritual dimension. Now you go up to by the subject, you go out, there's a way where you can stay in that, you can stay in that spiritual dimension and keep that intact if you avoid contact with the senses and the sense objects. I'm not going to buy subji and all that, but there's so-and-so. And especially if you happen to be, unfortunately, in small little pinhead, you know, little needle-like thing is called a pin. So there's a head of the pin, little small. So you may be famous. You may be famous on the head of a pin. So like there's one mission or one society, and you may became famous there. But your fame compared to the world and everything in the world and all the societies is like the fame of someone on the top of a pin. So that I became like that a little bit, like famous on top of a pin. And I always remembered this now, that that's all it means. It doesn't mean anything. What is this? You know, there's some pop singer from Spain. There are millions. I never heard. No one ever heard. And on his, on his YouTube or whatever, his SoundCloud, there's 3 million people listen to his songs. And you go to the famous guy in the head of the pin, and it says 2 people. So how can you be, wow, I'm big. I'm big on the head of a pin. I understood this long ago. So then you maintain a certain humility, which is real. So therefore, when you go outside, and if you're like that, a little bit famous, and if you're looking like this, so many enemies will see you, and so many admirers will see you, and this is pratikul to absorption, Krishna Vesh. This is pratikul. This is sociality. Oh ha, ba ha, hoo ha, hello, goodbye. You know, yes, blessings, and oh, you're my enemy. You know, you hate me. Very good, keep hating me. So you can avoid all that by looking at the ground. Because I only come out of here very rarely. I come out here to do prikma and take snan. So I realize I have someone buying things for me. So I don't want to, you see me, whatever, you can love me or hate me or whatever, that's your work. I want to stay with my Radharani Krishna. I want to go from here to the prikma and see my Govindaji, my Gopinath, and see my Shankun Radhakun come back. And I don't want to see anyone. So I realized if you make a sankalpa and you practice, then you won't see anybody. And sometimes you'll hear somebody, Maharaj, and you say, Radhi, Radhi, whatever. And they can think, oh, he didn't see me. He didn't say, who cares? Because my mind is in samadhi. I'm fixed on Radha and Krishna. You understand my point? Anyone can relate to this? Because that whole world of outside your heart is illusion. Everything outside your heart is illusion. Everyone outside your heart is imagination. Here, today, gone tomorrow. Your mother is dead, your father is dead, your grandfather is dead, your grandmother is dead, and you'll be dead, and all your teachers will be dead, and all your friends will be dead. So who cares? We respect them, we're grateful, we worship them, we do Petri Puja, we worship our ancestors, we do all these things. But we should never move away from our center. Our center is our absorption in Radha and Krishna's Nam, Rup, Guna, and Lila. This is devotion. It's a type of baby samadhi. type of baby samadhi. It's not really samadhi. It's a type of dhyan. It's a type of meditation. But then there's dhruva and smriti, and there's so many different levels to get to samadhi. It's called, and yoga is called pratyahara. Pratyahara means withdrawing the senses from the sense objects. Have you heard of Bhagavad Gita? We should withdraw our senses from the sense objects. Like a turtle draws his arm, you know, turtle, tortoise, you know, tortoise and box and legs and head. It's called box turtle. In America, B-O-X, box turtle, because it looks like a box. Korma Chaitanya, it's a Bengali, it's in Bengali in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. That's very nice. Korma Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya, was trying to be trying to understand Radharani's Unmad and her Mahabhav. And Radharani, she may cry and she may tremble, but she doesn't turn into a pumpkin. She doesn't turn into a turtle. She contains it. But when Krishna, who is so anxious, Sri Krishna is so anxious to experience Radharani's Mahabhav, Radharani said, "Are you sure? Are you really sure? You think you can handle it? You can lift Govardhan Hill. You can lift the whole universe. You can do so many things. But do you think you can handle my Mahabhav?" "No problem. I'm anxious. What is the sweetness in me that you're experiencing? What is the happiness you're gaining by serving me? What is the love within your heart? Pranaya Prakriti, Pranaya Vikritir. What is this Pranaya that Krishna's, the verse is saying, Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikritir. He wants to understand the Pranaya, but beyond Pranaya is Rag, and then Anurag, and then Bhav, and Mahabhav, and Modan, and Madan, and Unmad. And in this whole section of the gopis in chapter 30 is about Unmad. And the gopis are just, well, they're asking trees. They're a little mad, but they don't lose their arms and lose their neck and lose their legs. Could you even imagine? You go to the Gambira looking for Lord Chaitanya, and it's 1 o'clock in the morning, it's 2 o'clock in the room, the door is wide open, it's empty. He's gone, and they take, there's no flash torches. They have get the oil lamp, and they, get lighted, going out with oil lamps, castor oil, mustard oil, sesame oil. Where is he? It's totally dark. There's no street lights. There's no mercury lights. And then where is he? And you go to the ocean. You go to the mandir. You go to everywhere. They split up. He's gone. He was kidnapped. He was murdered. Where did he go? He jumped in the ocean again. Where did he go? He drowned. This is Naralila. They're not thinking, oh, he's God. It's not thinking like this. The Sakis and Mandris of Krishna Lila, they became the Brahmins of Gaur Lila. So they're searching, and they find by the Jagannath Mandir, naturally, Radharani's running to Krishna. Brijendra Nandan Shamasundar Jagannath Ki Jai. Jagannath is Brijendra Nandan Shamasundar. He's inside. There's Korma Chaitanya, Korma Krishna inside and Korma Chaitanya outside. Inside Jagannath is called Mahabhav Prakash, Kanaya Kutiya. Kanaya Kutiya. Kuntia, Kanai Kuntia. He was a great Arya, Odia Bhakta, Odia Vaishnava of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he wrote a book, Mahabhav Prakash, and he explained the whole Leela behind how Jagannath has this extraordinary form. His arms are inside his body, and there's no neck, and it's just a face and a body, and there's no legs, just like Korma Chaitanya. That whole Leela is there, which our great Rasik Jan, the Nityadhamaka, Sripad Gauragovinda Swami Maharaj, he translated that book into English, and he spoke on that and wrote articles on that, the Mahabhav Prakash Rupa of Krishna that manifested in Nidibhan, beautiful story from Kanaya Kuntia. So this is the it's the duty of every person in all times and places and circumstances to go to the Guru, to go near the Guru, Upasana, Upanayam, and ask him about bhakti, tatra siddhanta, and bhajan, And here is teachings. This is from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sravadeshe kala dashaya janer kartavya guru pashe se bhakti prashatavya shotavya. It's probably because I mentioned Madhya Lila chapter 25 verse 122, and this is probably some of the part of the discussion about Guru Tattva. In Madhya Lila chapter 22, it's, I believe, Sanatan Shiksha. And many different tattvas and truths are being taught by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sanatan Goswami and Rupa Goswami also, later, other chapters. So then, the point about searching, what are the gopis teaching here? In other words, there's, when we see Shastra, it's Leela, and it has its value as Leela, but then there's Leela Vichar. Vichar means consideration, examination, understanding of the Leela and the flow of the pastimes. And that's very high level discussion. Unless the speaker is the Rasik Jan, which means he's on the level of Bhava Bhakti, which quite rare, and all the listeners are Rasiks, then to just talk about the Leela and the different Vyavachari Bhavas and different Bhavas and type of things that are going on, it's also very nice, and we try somewhat to explain that and reveal that from the Acharyas. But what we see from our Acharyas, like Vishwanath, who's so Rasik, he'll speak about Rasik things in the verse in context of the Leela, and he'll quote, oh, in this verse, Radharani is saying this, and Krishna's replying, and the gopis are saying, and it's very sweet and takes us very deep. Then he steps back into the foundation of Tattva. After speaking about Ras, he says things like, oh, this is, they're asking questions, they're searching, Krishna's within and without. That is Vishwanath. So half of Vishwanath's Tika itself on the Leela is very sweet and very intimate and all about the Leela and all about the gopis. Then he steps back and talks about Paramatma and about seeing Krishna in every atom, and he's all pervading. So this is the standard of our Acharyas, and this is the standard everywhere. Because even if the Acharya or the Guru may be a great Rasik, or he is a great Rasik Jan, he's a Premi Bhakta, he's not going to just speak all that, because who is eligible? Who has the Adhikar? If he's in the Gambira, or he's, Gambira means a deep confidential satsang. The word Gambira means deep and confidential, so in dark and private. So if he's in private sangha with his own Sarup Damodars and his Rai Ramanandas, then he may relish only the rasa tattva and the prema tattva, the rasa swadana, because it takes two to tango. The speaker and the listener must be on the same level of adhikar to relish the sweetness. There's tapes, you can hear tapes of Srila Prabhupada. It's a very nice tape, it's like 1969 or whatever. These old tapes were phenomenal. Prabhupada goes to some school. He goes to some school. The kids are like 9-year-old or 10-year-old children in America. And they ask Prabhupada to give a class to these children. So Prabhupada is not going to quote all kinds. Because when Prabhupada preaches in India, if you know Prabhupada's lectures, when you've listened to preaching in India and in Bombay, he quotes like 500 verses in 1 hour. So many Sanskrit shlokas. So many. Because Indian people really respect this and respect the guru if he knows Sanskrit shlokas and explains them. So Prabhupada knew that mentality. So he wanted to make an impression, the correct one, so they would have respect and whatnot. So he did that. And then you hear any lectures in London or anywhere else around the world, there's three verses, four. There's much, much less, because I listen maybe, I don't know, 100 times every lecture. So I saw so many patterns and things, which I, I'm a real sankhya. I really analyze things. So when Prabhupada was preaching to his 10-year-old children, he was very nice if he listened to it. I haven't heard it in maybe 20 years. There was some students there, and you only hear, you have to imagine. So Prabhupada's in this classroom. Prabhupada says, so what's your name? Can you please come up? And then the boy says, and the teacher, she said, yeah, go. Just imagine Swamiji in 1969 at some school in Pennsylvania or something, some very conservative school. And the Swamiji comes in, like some genie or something out of a lamp, you know. Everyone's white and tall and kids, and so everyone's like, little kids are scared. Who is he? So he says, "Can you come up?" And he comes up. He says, "So what in Prabhupada is so loving? He's a grandfather. He produced 10 children, but then 5 died and 5 lived and all these things. So he's Prabhupada's full of love." And he says, "So what is your name?" He said, "William." "Okay, William." Prabhupada said, "So William, can you point to your nose?" It's so sweet. I really like this. So then he says, "Yes, this is my nose." And he says, Where's your ear? Can you point to your ear?" And he points, "This is my ear." And he says, "Can you point to this is my head?" He said, "Where are you?" Prabhupada said, "Can you point to where you are?" And he said, "You, where are you? You know, can you point to yourself? Where are you?" "Yeah, this is me. This is me." And Prabhupada said, "No, this is your body." And the kid was a little confused. And he said, "No, this is me. I am." And so then Prabhupada tried to went in his own very simple way for the grammar school children in America. He tried to explain to them, "See, there's the body and there's the soul." And then he said, "Okay, thank you, William. You can sit down." It was really nice. So the idea is that you have to give the Harikata and speak on the topics according to the audience. And we see that from our acharyas. Just like there's parameters. If you study the Six Goswami's writings, all their stavamalas, stavavali, etc., when they're talking about the intimacies of Radha and Krishna's Madhurya Leela, there's a certain border. My teacher taught me that. There's a certain border which they would not cross. They would say, "Oh, Krishna embraced the gopis, he kissed the gopis," and there's certain things. But they have a certain border of decency or morality which they don't cross. So if you see something that's written and it's attributed and it says, "Oh, this is by Rupa Goswami," if you see the content of that writing, there's a few points to judge whether that writing is actually authentic or not. One point is the content. Where does this writing, to what extent does it go to in the description of Radha Krishna Leela? And the other extent is, what is the Sanskrit language? Because all the Goswamis wrote in Sanskrit. What is the style? What is the chandas? So, for example, there's one very popular, very beautiful, and very popular and sweet song. It's called Nikunja Rahasya Stava. Nikunja Rahasya Stava. And it says on it, Rupa Goswami. And many all Goswamis and different temple Goswamis, they sing this, and very beautiful, and it's very famous. So, but it's not anywhere mentioned in Stavamala. And it's not in any ancient books. If you go to Jiva Institute or you go to Vrindavan Institute and find very ancient manuscripts of the Goswami books, there's no, do you know this point? The Nikunja Rahasya Stava. I don't know if you're aware of that poem. It's very popular. And also, it's not Rupa Goswami, because in the translation, it's about Radha and Krishna. And very rhyming. It almost sounds like the Madhurasticum. Very simple to sing. It's all in the Sanskrit. The last words all rhyme. It's very easy to sing and very easy flowing. And I said, and all of our learned pandits and acharyas say, this is not Rupa Goswami. Someone later wrote it and put Rupa Goswami's name on it to make it popularized. So therefore, even the Goswamis in the writing, for example, Jayadeva Goswami wrote Gita Govind. That was 1,000 years ago. So he is not under the tutelage or training of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, and Sanatana Goswami, they're all person, and Rai Ramananda, he didn't write much and too much, so many books, a few things. But Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, and Raghunath Das, they're all personally trained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so, and they're all consistent. All the six Goswamis, and Narottam Das, and Baladev Vidyabhushan, and Vishwanath, everyone writes within the, Vishwanath maybe extends a little bit, but they write within a certain boundary. Jayadeva Goswami, Gita Govinda, And they're all describing Radha Krishna. They're all describing Madhurya Leela and Kunja Leela and all these things. Jayadev Goswami goes way beyond the borders of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's, what he would consider acceptable. And of course, he himself was relishing Gita Govinda and the Gambira, but there's something called Anusaran and Anukaran. So this is a big problem because people say, oh, it's in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Chaitanya is studying Gita Govinda, so we can study Gita. So that's called Anukaran, imitating Lord Chaitanya. Sometimes Lord Chaitanya is teaching and setting an example as acharya, as guru. And sometimes he's relishing his own personal ecstasies in the Radha Bhav. And so some things we can follow, that's called following the footsteps, that's Anusaran. So the guru is required because no one can understand any shastra, especially the very esoteric and deep shastras of the Gaudiya Sampradaya, without being at the feet of a guru. He'll misunderstand everything. So therefore, you know, he's deep in the, oh, Lord Chaitanya is studying Gita Govinda and Krishna Karanamrita. So our acharyas will give us Krishna Karanamrita because it's within the boundaries of discussion and glorification of Krishna, mostly in Radharani, you can say, that's acceptable to Lord Chaitanya and acceptable to Six Goswamis. We don't see, have you, your guru has commented on Gita Govinda? I'm asking you a question. The answer is no. There you go. So you understand the point I'm saying? There are many points I'm saying, but especially this point of anusara, misunderstanding Shastra, because with Lord Chaitanya, father of Sankirtan movement, Lord Chaitanya served all the Vaishnavas five times more than they can eat, so these things you follow, serve the Vaishnavas, dance in Kirtan, follow the Ratiyatra card, all these things, but you know, it's so many misunderstandings. You read Radharasuda Nidhi, and everywhere it glorifies Radharani's name. Oh, I don't chant Hare Krishna anymore. I just chant Radhi, Radhi, Radhi. This is totally Maya. It's not Krishna conscious at all. So without Guru, you get nowhere. You have to be guided properly. Because if you read the same book, if you actually read the book with the brain, because that's in his ecstasy of exaltation and glorifying Radharani's name. If you search the entire Vedas, you'll not find two syllables more that are more powerful and precious than these two syllables, Radha. And many, many verses. I gave many classes in Radharasuda Nidhi. I was going through Radharasuda Nidhi 10 years ago. I gave a series of classes on all the verses about Radharani's name, and all the verses about Radharani's form, and all the verses about Radharani's qualities. This is years ago. I wanted to go through Radharasuda Nidhi and break it, not one by one, because I work through things different way. So I wanted, you know, all the verses, Radharani's lotus, glorification of Radharani's lotus feet. There's different, many verses you can collect, which I did, and I gave classes on. They're on the SoundCloud. So this, there's many verses about the holy name. But then verse 256, because the last thing people say is usually the most important. The last thing before I die is pretty important. Tavevasmi, na jivami toyabina, itivigaya devi tom, nayamam charnantikam. That's 102. There's 104 verses in the Milakusamanjali. This is maybe 96 or 102, right at the end. The whole conclusion of his lamentation of Das Goswami and his ecstasy of pain of separation is, I'm yours, Radharani, I'm yours. Do you hear me? Do you understand this? Do you know anything about me? Please, I'm dying. I'm about to die. Take me to you. I don't want another birth. I don't want to come back. Take me. I'm yours. Keep me at your lotus feet forever. So that's the final word. So 250, I think it's 256 in Vilakusamanjali. This is what we follow. This is the Anusaran. The surrendering of following the teachings rather than imitating. Radhe Radhe, because I've met people like this. I'm 30 years in Vrindavan and I've met so many devotees from different missions and different places and this, that, and the all kinds of misconceptions. I wrote many posts of late about all these things. So it's repetition. So that verse, he says, what does he say? He doesn't say anything about chanting Krishna's name. I mean, Radharani's name. He says, He says, I chant the best of names, Krishna's name. I chant the best of mantras, Krishna's mantra, means Gopal mantra. I worship the best of deities, Krishnamurti. And I meditate on the best of objects of meditation, Krishna's lotus feet. And all the time I'm worshiping Krishna, serving Krishna, and chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and worshiping Krishna. I'm praying, O Krishna, please give me the service of the lotus feet of Radharani. This is Krishna consciousness. This is Anusaran. This is what the teachings of Prabhupada and Saraswati is. So, you understand what I'm saying? Yes, no? So that's why guru is required. I love Radharani's name. I chant Radharani's name all the time, privately. And sometimes it comes out publicly. But it's not. I'm not chanting 64 rounds. Maybe a good idea. Maybe I'll get to that point. But let that descend. That's called avaroha. Avaroha panta means descends. If it descends, that's her divine will. I've seen sadhus. I mean, 30 years in one place means you've seen a lot. You've heard a lot. You've been a lot. That's a lot of days. And 15 years in Vrindavan. So I've been on Parikrama every day for months and months, Vrindavan Parikrama. And it was all over my time, I've seen this sadhu would come and then he would disappear, die, go back, I don't know, whatever he went. Then another sadhu would come. Many sadhus I would see here and there near the Prakamarg. I don't know why near the Prakamarg. I always ask the question, why here? But they'd be somewhere near some public exposure, but they would be apparently in some kind of bhav and they're chanting, Radhe, 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 Radhe. And some appeared quite genuine and quite crazy about Radharani's name, and some were collecting money on the Prakamarg. There's different ways people go. So I've actually seen some genuine people who are lost in Radhanam, and that's their life. But I have to follow my guru. If you have no guru, you have no luck. If you have no luck, you have no success. So guru is the fortune in your life. So tomorrow we'll continue. I think we'll finish this verse 4 and we'll start verse 5. Srimad Bhagavatam Mahapurana ki. Yeah.